We are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. Welcome to Business Rockstars. Joining me, Huzaifia Kapadia, founder of Scalar Learning. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. So tell us, what is Scalar Learning?
All right. So Scalar Learning is an education company. So it's sort of split into a few different areas. And it started out just as a tutoring company, just actually me as a tutor trying to build a tutoring business. And this is after I had a career in law as a patent attorney for about 4 years. So I built it up that way and planned to just have tutors and so on and so forth underneath me. It's changed since then. And now it's become much more focused on content creation. And the biggest component of that is the development of video, online video courses. And it's all related to mathematics. So we have a SAT course, an ACT course, an IC course, which is the independent school entrance exam, which is a very difficult course for kids applying to private schools in LA and elsewhere. And so that's kind of how it's now evolved and continues to change and evolve, but that's the primary focus.
Can you speak a little bit to the need for this help around math and academics in general?
Sure. Well, there's a massive movement in, in that what you might call it the ed tech space. So there's all sorts of companies trying to help kids almost deliver customizable curriculum solutions to kids at home, whether it's homework help or anything like that. The beauty of using video courses or video online education tools is that, let's say you compare that between an in-person tutor, which is a lot more expensive, versus one of these video courses. The benefit of a video course, especially if you compare it to classroom education or classroom curriculum, is you can pause, you can rewind. So it's very dynamic in that sense.
Yeah.
And then if you couple that with good practice exercises and then video explanations on top of that, which is the next phase of our revamp of our SAT product, then I think it really allows for, it almost comes down to a product that's equivalent in a lot of respects with having an in-person tutor. And I think that especially now, as we're just trying to make education more accessible across the US and across the planet, it's just a really perfect fit. And it makes sense with all the advents in technology that make it really seamless.
Yeah, and taking it back a couple steps, just looking at the traditional model of you go to class, you have your teacher in person, that a lot of times isn't enough for students, right? They really do need to take it to that next step and have a tutor, and even better, have an online course, because subjects like math, they're hard, right?
Yeah, exactly. What happens is there's another issue that comes up often, which is, and this is more with respect to tutoring. This is not as applicable with online video courses, but learning style. So there are a lot of different learning styles. Some say there are 5, some say there are 7. You can be an auditory learner, visual learner, so on and so forth. The problem with a standard curriculum or standard classroom setting is that may only appeal to very specific types of learners. So for example, you could have students that go on through a typical high school education always thinking they're really poor in mathematics. But really, and this is the beauty of tutoring, this is why I wanted to do this in the first place. Really what's happening is they're just not having the information delivered in the right way that's compatible with their learning style. So what you can really do if you're paying attention, you really care as a tutor, you can make adjustments on the fly. Part of this also depends on how thoroughly you understand the concept. So that's super important, of course. But if you understand the concepts well enough and you can really pivot and shift every time something doesn't click, you can eventually get to the point, start figuring out, all right, how do I communicate these messages or these concepts in a way that makes sense for that particular student? And then you can see some really powerful transitions happening. And probably the most important thing is you start to rewrite the underlying belief as far as what they think they're capable of achieving. You have this whole thing of, am I a math student? I'm just not a math person, which is really frustrating when I hear that, because it's like anything. If you have a growth mindset, it's totally something that can be learned and developed as a skill set.
Yeah, it's so true. And I can totally relate. I never thought I was a math person up until middle school because I never had that teaching style that connected with me. Then I had this one teacher when I was in 7th grade that it just clicked for me. And all of a sudden, that was my best subject all the way through college. So I can totally relate to that. It's all about that learning style. Like you said, there's so many different ways of learning, and e-learning is such a great way of making sure that every student has that capability of learning in their own unique way. So can you speak to that a little bit? How do you make a course so that it really is conducive to those different learning styles.
So the way that I try and make my courses as far as connecting with students, I think one of the biggest lessons that I've learned teaching, and I'm a teacher now too, I taught for the first time this last year, which was amazing. But the biggest lesson I have learned is that if you can make a connection and if you can make it fun, then the learning is amplified. I try to do the same thing with my video courses. In fact, that was the central tenet after watching, and I don't even want to mention the companies because, I mean, they do make great products. I just thought I could make something that improved in certain areas. But after watching a slew of these video courses, I felt like they were lacking in almost a presentation, if you will. So I love music. That's been a big part of my life. I actually used to want to be a singer for a long time. So I integrate music that I think is upbeat and catchy that I get to make myself. We have really fun, colorful visuals. I'm always on camera. I always make it talking head through working with companies like Udemy, which is an online education platform. I mean, they know, their market research says you always want to have a talking head. Why? So you can, again, have that engagement that mimics having
throughout the entire course? Mm-hmm.
Throughout the entire course. So the way that my courses are designed, we have, so for example, I have a whiteboard, let's say, and I'm going through practice problems. The screen is split. It's about 70% whiteboard, but 30% I'm always on camera.
I see. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because yeah, I know for a lot of online courses, people do slides. They mm-hmm. have a slide deck. So are you saying that, okay, maybe you still can do slides, but then just make sure it's only 2/3 of the you know, frame?
This is what's been, again, recommended literally from Udemy to all its instructors. So I do the exact same thing.
Well, they know what they're talking about.
And I still have slides and I still have a whiteboard. So even when I do the critical concept lectures where I'm explaining different topics for the first time, I'll still have slides, but then it's cut off. So you can always see my face. And again, through that research, it's meant to be more engaging and again, have that greater level of connection. I'll just say one other thing, though. Do I make a perfect product for every single type of learning style or every single type of personality? Of course not. So I think that's the other beauty of what's happening in this space is you have people like, you have all sorts of big companies. You have another great company called SuperTutor TV, which is based in LA. So they do all sorts of different videos and courses and stuff like that. And you can go through and choose, just like if you're choosing a tutor, you can choose a video course that connects with you and feels like it makes sense.
Yeah, so you can shop around and mm-hmm. see who connects with you the best. Do you get a little preview so you can actually know by seeing?
Yes, absolutely. So, and again, it varies from course to course or what you're looking at. I actually usually provide for my video courses on my YouTube channel about 20 to 30% of the content for free. So I give a large chunk of it and you can come on and just watch that stuff for free. What you don't get, unfortunately, with the previews, you don't get the practice problems and the other additional resources, but you can get a really great feel of what the content will be like.
And I know a lot of people in this space are using those free videos as a way to generate leads too. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, well, that's a big aim for me as well. My social media presence is something that I've been focusing on solely for the last year, really. So I focus on Instagram, on Facebook. YouTube is something that I'm trying to grow. And also now I'm starting to develop my Twitter following. But the most fun thing that I do on YouTube, this began as just a random idea as a way to, the reason why I left law and I started this company, the biggest reason was I wanted to do something that was really fun that I always loved and I thought I was naturally, I had a bit of an affinity for, and that was teaching math. But one thing that I sort of left behind and haven't been able to tap into for a long time is my love of music. So just as a random experiment, I made a math music video last summer for PEMDAS, which is the order of operations. And it was a blast. And it was, if you compare it to like my more recent videos, the video production is not very good, but it was really fun. And I thought it came out great. Like I liked it. So that's been something. Now I have 7 videos. I'm shooting 2 more in the next month and a half. And that's probably the biggest part, the biggest driver of my social media campaign and push. Because it's something, I think it's not only engaging and fun, but the goal is of each video to tackle a concept that is difficult to remember, usually like a formula, and then provide a musical mnemonic.
Well, especially since your audience is kids.
It's a great way to capture their attention. It's a great way to improve retention of the material as well. And I think somebody described it to me. I never really said this or verbalized this, but I've been working with it's an accelerator called Expert Dojo in Santa Monica. And when I was first meeting with them and showing them some of my stuff, one of the first few things I showed them was my most recent math music video on, I think at the time it was Special Right Triangles. And he just started laughing. He's like, you're making math cool. Or that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to make math cool. And again, it wasn't something that I was trying to set out to do. But I think that that's a beautiful thing where you can take something that is definitely usually not associated with that type of image or something that's fun and exciting, and then merge it with something that's quote unquote cool and hopefully get more kids excited and interested.
Well, that's how you're disrupting this space. You're offering a different perspective. I love it. Well, we are going to take a quick break and we will come back and talk more about the e-learning space, creating online courses, a little bit more about your journey. So sit tight. We are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. This is Business Rockstars. We'll be right back.
Message and data rates may apply.
Earning your degree from one of the top business schools in the country might sound impossible to fit into your workload. But what if there were a business degree that furthered your career and gave you access to world-renowned faculty, leaders, and mentors, all on your schedule? One that opened doors to some of the most influential CEOs, tech companies, law firms, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. And what if you could earn that degree in as little as 16 months, 100% online? To find out more, text NET to 79645. That's NET to 79645. Start your online MBA, information management, or business analytics master's program from the W.P. Carey School of Business at Arizona State University today. Learn more about the W.P. Carey Business Graduate Programs online. Text NET to 79645. That's NET to 79645.
We are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. Welcome back to Business Rockstars. We are continuing our conversation with the founder of Scalar Learning. Okay, let's take a step back for a second for those who aren't really familiar with this e-learning space and really building your email list. If you could explain to them why is this important to build your email list and how do you do it through lead magnets, basically?
So you mean why is it important to build an email list just from a business standpoint?
Yeah. Because this is a business model that not everyone has tapped into. Mm-hmm. The whole model of online products and services and building your list and capturing those emails so that you're nurturing that relationship through free content, which you do so well. Mm-hmm. And then ultimately you can offer your courses.
The way I think about it, this is me personally, more than anything, I just want people to be able to come and like what I do and comment and say, hey, this is cool or this helped me. That's one of the most exciting things for me. The reason why I think it makes sense to then capture emails and then continuously provide content is you can continue to spread that positivity and build up a community. I think that's a big goal whenever we're talking about social media campaigns or email capture or anything like that. And then the goal is as the community builds, they'll hopefully be more receptive to my teaching styles, my video courses, so on and so forth. So it's almost like I'm trying to build a virtual store that I have repeat customers just coming in, browsing, checking stuff out. And then when they find something that, hey, might be a good fit. Oh yeah, my son is about to take the ACT or the SAT, or wow, now we need a study guide for the GRE and this just came out. Then they'll have something that will work for them.
So let's talk more about that e-learning space, because I feel like this industry is exploding. It's booming. Is that your experience?
Well, it's definitely exploding. It's in a lot of ways, it seems now to be the sexy industry to get into. I didn't get into it for that reason, though. Just to be clear, I got into it because it's literally what I thought was I just had a natural affinity for. And I love math and I love working with people and with kids. But yeah, it's completely exploding. And I think it's really interesting, too, because I've interviewed a lot of different ed tech startups on my podcast. And I like how it's continuously from all these different angles, it's just making it easier and more accessible for kids to get help that otherwise was only limited to people who could afford to pay tutors. And now, again, I tutor. I have tutors at my company too that tutor kids. And I think that's great if you do have access to it. But if you can't, these e-learning alternatives are starting to just become so amazing and so robust.
Yeah. And I would think that people who have your attitude are going to be the most successful in this space because they're leading with their passion. And then it just becomes a no-brainer to share your passion with as many people as possible. And obviously e-learning is so much more scalable than teaching in person.
Yeah, of course. I mean, even trying to grow, because I've talked to other tutoring companies, just trying to grow a business based on tutors is much more difficult. There's a lot more obstacles as far as growing an online. I mean, for the most part, there's of course challenges with video courses as well. But yeah, certainly.
What has been the biggest challenge so far?
Oh, man.
A lot of challenges. And you can name more
than one. Yeah, I've learned. So I started this whole adventure 4 years ago, and it was just the toughest at the beginning with the, if I first just talk about the tutoring business, just trying to get into schools and have people trust me, because I don't have a teaching background, but I just felt very firmly that I could do a really good job. So just actually building up my reputation as an educator and a teacher for math when I'm an ex-attorney, that was very, very difficult. It took a long time before I even got just a handful of clients. From the video course side, I think still, and I still face this challenge today constantly, is you're competing with, especially when it comes to standardized test prep, you're competing with these juggernauts in the industry like Kaplan or Princeton Review, so on and so forth. Veritas Prep is a pretty cool company too. So you have a lot of really big, well-known names. The issue I believe that a lot of students and parents face when trying to choose something is you just don't want any questions. You don't want to take a risk. So the standard approach for a lot of people is you go these standard avenues. So for me, trying to spread the word and be like, hey, check this out. This is how I've done all my research. This is how I've compiled my practice problems. I think it's better in this way and that way. Trying to actually convince people to give it a shot, that's one of the biggest difficulties.
Well, and that circles back to the content creation. That's mm-hmm. the way you can really create that like, know, and trust between you and your potential customers. And a lot of times it just comes down to you're almost getting the same thing. It's just the way you deliver it. And it also goes back to what we were talking about. When you have that little preview, do you resonate with mm-hmm. you versus them? So how would you say that you approach standing out from your competition?
Sure. So it's like you said, it's in a lot of the nuances and the details. The specific ones, I'd say the most tangible difference is the way that I have approached the ordering and delivery of the content. So for example, what I did, this was the first thing that I did with the SAT, because what I've noticed is a lot of people, surprisingly, which they shouldn't do this, but a lot of people buy their standardized test programs or begin their hardcore studying a few weeks, sometimes even 1 or 2 weeks before the test. So what does that mean? There's an enormous amount of material to cover and you have a very short amount of time to do so. So what I did was I took there's so many great official SAT exams given by the College Board. So I took 10 and I just went through them and I made all these categories for all the different questions and I figured out which ones appear most frequently. So the biggest standout for my courses right off the bat is it's what I call frequency-based, as opposed to approaching the standard way, like, let's go through pre-algebra, then algebra, then geometry, modeling the high school progression. You don't need to do that because most high school students that are prepping, they've taken all these courses for the most part. They already know the concepts. They've just forgotten some of them or need some practice. So this allows you then to be like, well, 15% of this exam consists of word problems or percentages or whatever. Then you can tackle the most frequent topics first. Let's say you only get through 5 out of 25. You can still hit ostensibly 40% of what's covered on the exam. So it's really effective in a time crunch. Now, if you talk about some of the more stylistic approaches, which actually I think are even more impactful in terms of what differentiate it.
Yeah, because we're emotional creatures mm-hmm. at the end of the day.
Visual, emotional, absolutely.
Yeah.
So again, it's the talking head piece. I feel like there's a big piece of whether or not it connects with people is just my personality. So I'm
Absolutely.
Really energetic. I love it. Mm-hmm. And I know that comes across in tutoring and I hope it comes across in the video courses as well. So I think that's a component that is a differentiator. The music, that's just something that I had to include because I love music. And it's sort of, it splits.
You told me during break that you were going to give us a little bit more of a preview of that music. Yeah. Are you willing?
Yeah, of course, of course. So, and this will be, so the music that I use in the video courses is more background music. But so what I said was I'd sing one of the hooks to one of my math music videos. And okay, so what I'll do is the second one that I made is called the quadratic formula. Do you remember the quadratic formula?
Vaguely, okay. Yes.
So it's a difficult formula to memorize. And that was my initial goal. I was like, okay, if I can come up with a cool, catchy way to sing it, then people can remember it more easily. I'm not the first person that did it, but I feel like I did it in a really poppy way. So here it goes.
Okay.
Negative B plus or minus the square root of B squared minus 4AC all over 2A. And that's the chorus. It just repeats one more time.
Awesome. That's so cool. I can just picture kids walking around singing that. And that's the point, right?
Yeah,
for them
the
to
point.
Catch on and memorize it themselves. And then they're taking a test and in their mind, they're, you know, having to sing to themselves, I'm sure. So cool. Well, thank you so much for stopping by. I love your story. I love when people find their passion and they go for it. It started out as tutoring and it's grown into something so much bigger and so much more purposeful. So thank you for your work and for chatting with us today.
Thank you for having me.
This report is brought to you by Facebook. There are a lot of questions right now on how Facebook works. People are asking, who can see what I share? Why do I see posts from ads? And how does Facebook use the information I share online? Facebook spokesperson Michelle Mandara offers tips on how to improve your experience.
You have control over the content you see and share on Facebook. If you see a post from someone that you aren't really into, you can click snooze and temporarily remove that person. Or if you want to see more photos of your best friend's baby, then click see first so they always appear first in your feed. You will see ads on Facebook since that's what allows Facebook to be free, but you can remove or block ads that you don't like. Our ad preferences allows you to control the ads you see on Facebook.
The app controls show you what apps you've logged into, the information you have shared, and how to remove them. For more, visit facebook.com/help.
We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars. And I'm joined by Taylor Freeman. He is the CEO of Upload. And Taylor, tell me, what made you want to be an entrepreneur?
Honestly, I've just always had that entrepreneurial spark. Ever since I was a kid, I've just wanted to start companies and solve problems.
Wow, that's incredible. So at what point did you go, I'm going to leave my 9-to-5 for Upload specifically?
So it was back in May 2014, and Oculus had just been acquired by Facebook, and it was a crazy deal. It was like a $2.2 billion acquisition after only 2 years of the company existing. And so I've always been super into technology, and I wanted to try the hardware, so I started a meetup group to try it, and then I tried the technology and fell in love with it and with the community, and then that just sort of spiraled into what Upload is today.
So it just kind of organically happened,
yeah,
started with your
organic
passion, and then next thing you knew, you had a business.
Yeah.
So what does life look like today? What is a typical day like for you?
It varies tremendously. It typically starts pretty early with me trying to work out so that I can actually get through the whole day, because it's pretty intense. But
that helps you have energy? Is that what you're saying?
I found it to be hugely helpful to actually work out for at least 30 minutes in the morning. It just gives you a lot of endurance throughout the day, mentally and physically. So I guess my day is all over the place, whether it's dealing with funding and investors or handling expansion into new cities or managing team psychology or, you know, building out some of our products. It's really, I'm sort of like the conductor of all the little pieces, and I try to just sit at the middle and try to know enough from every person to enable them to do what they need to do.
So how many hours would you say that you work on average?
Every hour that I'm awake, for the most part, unless
I'm thinking about it, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's nice because when you're an entrepreneur, if you're an entrepreneur based out of passion around something, then it's very organic. You just are living sort of what you're working. And it's actually, we have a sort of philosophy in the company of like everyone sort of has that mentality, but we also really respect time off. And so when we do that, we encourage people to actually like digital detox and like put their phone away and just try to disconnect and really connect back with other people and with nature and stuff.
Do you do the same? Do you digital detox once in a while?
I do. I try to at least once a month just put my phone and like all my electronics into like a drawer. Mm-hmm. And then I go and I just explore and like walk around the city. And
it's, you know, so necessary, isn't it?
It's super necessary.
Yeah. So do you have a tip or trick for being really productive during your day?
So again, talking about sort of the fitness aspect, I can't emphasize that enough. I think it's really important. Also, just eating well and consistently is incredibly important. But in terms of tactics that I use, I have something that I call mental sprints, which are effectively, given like the fact that we have the Apple Watch and the phones and every just bombarding from social media and email, it's really hard to sit down and focus.
Oh, I know.
So I do this thing called mental sprints where I actually will set an alarm on my phone and I'll literally just have headphones on and start the timer, and I'll just let it run for like 40 minutes is sort of the ideal productivity window for me, and I'll let it go and literally like I won't stop unless there's something on fire or like something goes crazy.
So no disruptions, you turn off technology around you.
It's like, you know,
tell the team don't bother me.
Yeah, and we have something where it's like two headphones on mean don't bother me, one headphone on means like only bother me if you really need to. And then both off is like, come approach me. And it's like a lot of people they'll compare it to taking a flight. Like everyone's like, when I take flights, I'm so productive, right?
Yeah.
So like if you simulate that environment for yourself,
that's really helpful. Great. That's such a good tip. And when it comes to innovation, how do you come up with your new ideas and stay creative?
I think it's always really just focused on learning and like just trying to stay really up to date and talk to really smart people and get their advice. And then sort of all those things start to combine into theories that you build for yourself and then beliefs that you start to form. And then like, for me, I have this, it's called like a shiny object. I think a lot of us face it where like everything looks exciting and you want to chase different things. But really sort of staying true to like your values and your morals and seeing what sticks over time. And if an idea sticks with you and it continues to evolve, it's probably a good thing to really focus on.
Yeah, absolutely. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, joined by Taylor Freeman. He's the CEO of Upload. And you're in such a cutting-edge industry. So do you feel the need to constantly disrupt it?
I feel like sort of the foundation for the industry is being set by a lot of these major players, like Oculus and now Facebook, HTC, Google, Sony. These major corporations are investing billions of dollars into disrupting it and innovating, like specifically on the hardware and also platform side. So I think my real mission is to make sure that all of this disruption is staying cohesive and that the community is actually focused on the things that matter, which is using this as a new platform to really make a positive impact in the world. So I think it's more just trying to steer all the crazy chaos and disruption that's happening in a way that's cohesive rather than us trying to actually individually disrupt.
So finding new ways of utilizing this technology.
Yeah, and just bringing light to the things that are incredible, like the fact that VR is helping people that are paralyzed walk again and people that have terrible fears overcome their fears. Mm-hmm. So it's really just trying to showcase the amazing things that are happening.
How would you describe your leadership style?
It's very sort of inspired by Richard Branson, I would say, from Virgin. I really believe that there are people that know a lot more than I do about the different topics that they're put in charge of. And so my job is sort of to sit at the center point and learn from them what they need, what they're doing, so that I can be that central point of knowledge to sort of guide the whole ship. But, you know, my head of education, my head of media, all these people are so much smarter than I am, so much better at what they're doing that, you know, I could never hold that much knowledge in my brain. So it's really just to help enable them and make sure that the culture is on point and that the like we're moving in the direction of the big vision.
And what do you think is the best way to empower those people and those individuals to really do their best job?
Yeah, that's a really, there's an easy answer for it, but it's an incredibly difficult problem. Mm-hmm. From what I've found, it's clearly defining role and clearly defining sort of key responsibilities and then just stepping back and saying, run with it and do your best and like make mistakes, go big, go fast, and learn from those mistakes. But yeah, that's what I've found to be effective. But that takes really good people that are aligned with the big picture and the mission.
Mm-hmm. So do you feel like you've found those great people?
Yeah, no, I'm so incredibly lucky to have the team that I have. It's like I come into the office and the people that I'm working with, I'm just amazed by how knowledgeable they are and how inspired they are by this stuff.
That is super helpful to your business.
Yeah, it's essential.
Yeah. So your industry is relatively new. So did you find it difficult to find mentors, or who are some of your mentors?
Sure. So we started back again in 2014, which is right when the acquisition happened. And at that point, there was this sort of like, we call it the OG VR crew, the people that were there in the 90s during the first wave, who now just were like resurging because they were so excited to see the accessible consumer hardware. So some of those folks would be, one of our first advisors was Philip Rosedale, the founder of Second Life, who's now working on another VR company. Another gentleman is Tony Parisi, who was the like creator of the virtual reality internet and put the first 3D objects on the internet back in the 90s. So it's been a mix of sort of those folks that came from that 90s era, and then also just people that were part of the internet revolution, people that saw mobile take off, that are saying like immersive technology is that same homebrew computer club feel that you had back when the computer was coming online and internet was coming online. So it was just this mass of people that were excited about the medium and also just saw the parallels between what they had seen before, and like we're just getting really excited to push that and be involved.
That's awesome that you could learn from those people.
Yeah.
We'll be right back with Taylor Freeman, CEO of Upload. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs.
Hopefully he's not working on his dad bod yet, but he's definitely been working on his dad jokes for like a decade. They're so like, you know, knee slappers.
We used to be investment bankers at Goldman Sachs, and we left there about 8 or 9 years ago to launch a liquor company, literally out of the back of our car here in Los Angeles.
I don't think it was like the dream when we were kids to become entrepreneurs, but I think when we were to Goldman Sachs, we were lucky enough to work with guys like Kevin Plank, the founder of Under Armour, or Darius Bykoff, who started Vitamin Water, and you see guys like that do it, and it kind of gets the juices flowing.
You know, now we wear fancy sneakers to work instead of our old pinstripe suits. So.
I think it was in the gene pool, it was just maybe a little dormant or kind of the recessive gene category.
The key for us is when it's someone like a brother, you have that inherent trust, you have that inherent ability to kind of know what they're thinking, and the key is kind of never make it personal and make sure it's not about being brothers, it's about being partners. So I think we're pretty good about that.
It's been a while since there's been a physical one. I'd say it's more tiffs than fights.
Coming from the Midwest, you just realize there's something to be said in business and kind of getting ahead of, again, it's as boring as it sounds, of just being a good human being, and kind of it all comes full circle, kind of similar to the New York Times bestseller Givers or Takers.
As the family likes to say, ain't nothing Midwest about Carter anymore. He's entrenched in LA. But I do like to think, as my brother said, it's a lot about just, you know, believing in karma or being a good person. And
I also think, you know, as an investor, you always have to make sure you're not biased towards kind of how we live in a place like LA. And so, right, one of the things is we always think about, would my aunt in Michigan or would my parents in the suburbs of Chicago, would they like this idea? Would they use this idea?
It's not hard to get Tim Cook from Apple's email. I actually know it. You know, it's tim.cook@apple.com. It's hard to get Tim Cook to reply, so you have to figure out how to do that or have a value proposition or a relationship or something compelling. And so I just think so much of life in the world we live in is just about follow-up.
Courtney's biggest strength is he can get to just about anybody.
He always wants to make sure everyone feels taken care of and happy, but it oftentimes manifests itself in just taking on too much or trying to do too many things or help too many people. I think Carter's in that rocket science echelon when he wants to be on most any subject. So I think it's amazing when we're in meetings and we spend time with people who are very well accomplished, very senior people, and you know, Carter has an ability to grasp a lot of things very quickly, and it's impressive. You know, he's always so helpful with my mom, whether it's fixing her stuff or setting this up. So
we have been trying to get her to learn how to use her AOL account since 2002. So I guess that's 14 years of probably talking to her once a week to try to explain to her how to open her inbox. So that is a lot of
So Carter
seconds.
Should be the favorite just by sheer hours put in.
How do you know a business deal won't happen? I'm Alex Worley with the Business Rockstars Minute. When working on a big deal, many thoughts will flood your brain. Sometimes you'll just get the feeling that something is just not right. When working with an outside company, there are a lot of things you can control, but based on certain behaviors, there are some telltale signs that this deal is dead. Here are the signs you need to pay attention to. Number one, they just don't respond. Early on, if everyone else goes dark, it's a big red flag. It indicates a lack of importance and a lack of priority towards that relationship. Number two, long waits between communication. This usually indicates a lack of interest. Number three, and probably the most important sign, use your gut. If something does not feel right, move on to something that is real. I'm Alex Worley, and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
When's the last time you checked your credit score? Those three-digit scores can have a huge impact on your financial life. Credit Karma can help you with free scores, free reports, and free monitoring. Credit Karma also gives you the tips, tools, and advice you need to understand your credit and how to improve it. You can even spot potential errors on your credit report. That can mean better interest rates on loans and credit cards, which can save you thousands of dollars in the long run. Signing up is completely free, no credit card needed. Visit creditkarma.com or download the Credit Karma app now.
A new poll says more Americans approve of President Trump than they do the big media. That's why millions are tuning in to Newsmax TV, America's new conservative channel. On Newsmax TV, see Bill O'Reilly, Pat Buchanan, Alan Dershowitz, Mike Reagan, and more. Bill O'Reilly's No Spin News Show is on Newsmax TV. Get it on DirecTV Channel 349, Xfinity 1115, Dish 216, U-verse 1220, Fios 615, and Spectrum. Newsmax TV. Real news for real people.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated, what other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter ROCKSTAR in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com.
We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars. And I'm joined by Taylor Freeman. He's the CEO of Upload. Thanks so much for being here.
Of course.
So tell me about Upload.
So Upload was born as a community in San Francisco back in 2014. And the founding mission has always been to inspire the future of computing. And with that, it's sort of evolved from being this community where we focused on events and scaling events larger and larger to then traveling around the world, covering with news everything happening in the space, to opening up co-working spaces designed to support the local professionals, into actually providing the training to for enterprise and also consumers to actually get the skills to start building this. So essentially what we're trying to do is provide the most robust ecosystem that we can for the professional community of VR and AR specifically, to help them get access to the things that they need to really grow and thrive coming into this next platform shift of computing.
Very cool. And is there anything out there just like it?
There's some analogs. Nobody that's taking sort of the unique approach of the media, the shared workspace, and the education all verticalized around one specific medium. So we sort of believe that by focusing it on this one subject, you can really maximize the effectiveness of your mentor network, of your corporate partner network, of your investor network, so that all the professionals actually get exactly what they need. They're meeting other relevant people when they're part of that community.
So that's your competitive edge, is combining those elements.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
Yeah.
So at what point did you realize that you had a business in the works?
I think honestly, so this was really just a passion project for me to start.
Yeah.
I was running my past company called Magnus Labs, which was an advertising firm. And we were hosting events in the space. As I mentioned, we started traveling around writing about things. And then we had an investor from China actually come to San Francisco and asked to take us out to drinks to learn about VR. And within about 20 minutes of that conversation, he just said, "Do you guys need funding? Like, do you want to turn this into something?"
That's fantastic.
And we were just like, we'll think about it. You know, we're profitable as a company. You know, we're just doing these events, growing the community. And then we really thought about it and realized that there was a tremendous need for support like this, not only in San Francisco, but globally. So I think that was really the tipping point where it became really material and we started running with it.
And that story really encompasses what your strategy is for fundraising, which you told me off camera, but share it with everyone watching. What is it?
Yeah, sure. So it's kind of funny. I've found that if you ask for advice, you get money. And if you ask for money, you get advice. So I would really encourage the entrepreneurs out there to find advisors that they actually genuinely want advice from, that they believe could really help their business, and then go talk to them and try to learn as much as you can and actually implement some of those things. And if an investor sees you do that and sees the grit and sees the passion, they're going to really trust you and they'll believe that you can execute and return money for them.
So it's not like you're being sneaky and meeting up with them, secretively wanting money.
No, it's
you genuinely want to learn from them, you implement those things, and then organically, a lot of times it falls into place where they end up funding your company.
Yeah, and you want to find people that genuinely resonate with the mission and what you're trying to do, that can really see the impact that their advice is having on the business. And when they see that, they'll have a real sense of ownership and want to be involved.
Well, and that's a cool thing too, is because you get to know each other.
Yeah.
And so you know, because you don't want to take money from the wrong person that doesn't understand the vision, but then you get to know each other and it's a good fit.
Yeah.
Cool. So did you at any point say, okay, we need to have a formal business plan, or was it always just kind of organically growing?
So I think as we've gone through multiple rounds of funding and as we've had board members join and as sort of the business has materialized into something more real, there has been a lot more sort of forward thinking that's gone into it. It began as, again, just solving the problem of putting headsets on people's heads and showing this and inspiring them and showing them what's coming. So I think, you know, it's important to have really like solid guiding values and like a foundation of where you want to go. But you know, ultimately for us, we just listened to our customers. They said they want workspace with shared resources, so we did that. They said they couldn't find any talent that was qualified, so we started training talent. So I think it's really...
It's always evolving.
Yeah, it's evolving. Once you find product market fit in a way that's scalable, then it's worth sort of building a business model to scale that rapidly. But until then, it's really important to just experiment and see what the market really wants. And it's important to think that you're building something for the customer, not for yourself, and just trying to detach and really focus on what they want.
You believe in creating a certain work environment and culture. So how do you align those people once you've hired them to this work culture?
Totally. I think one thing that's incredibly important and seems pretty novel at first, at least it did to me, was really having incredibly clear company values and making sure that you just iron them into people. Like, you know, some of ours would be like surprise and delight. Is a huge thing for us. That's how we measure performance in a lot of ways, is like, how often do you come back and like surprise and delight your team leader with like just your progress, the way that you've done something? Or another thing we say is always be branding. Like, everything is about brand. Think about brand, think about how a consumer will, think about the company based on your actions. So there's a lot of these things that if you can get people to align with those things, there will be sort of a natural selection of people that are a phenomenal fit. And so that is one thing I would highly encourage any entrepreneur to do right when they're starting, which seems sort of like a monotonous first task, but like, just set your company values. Set like 5 to 7 really key things that you believe in that you would never want to change. And that'll really help to form an amazing team.
Yeah, and of course it's one thing to set them, but then it's another to implement. So what do you think is the key to that?
Sure. There's a number of sort of hacks to make that accessible and exciting to a team. One thing would be recognizing people publicly. So, you know, one thing that we've done is, you know, every month you ask people to submit ways that they've demonstrated living the company values, and then you highlight people that have demonstrated a tremendous use of a value. So that's, you know, that's one thing that I've seen. We also, every Monday at 10 a.m., we have a full team meeting. And at the end of that meeting, we always go through the company values and we all read them together aloud. And so it's kind of funny, and it feels like summer camp sort of, but at the same time, it really does, you know, create that sense of culture. And then the other thing too I'd mention is like, just being, so like, if something happens and you get frustrated with someone or like they're underperforming for whatever reason, just take a deep breath and really try to see from their perspective why it's happening and try to figure out how you can better support them to succeed and like make sure that the way that you're measuring them is actually effective as a measurement tool, because if you do that and everyone feels like they're constantly thriving and hitting that next level and succeeding, then everyone's happy, everything's growing, and it's all good.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you're a great boss and that your workplace is an awesome place to work.
I'm trying.
It's working for you guys. Thank you so much to my guest, Taylor Freeman, CEO of Upload. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars.